David's Daily Digital Dollop. Bit of an improvised jingle to celebrate the 180th dollop.
180!
Oh, you appreciated that. A bit of beatboxing. I could do the entire blog beatboxing if you like. Let's try that, shall we? Today, with the first day since Friday, that I haven't been obsessively checking the Guardian or Twitter. Yeah, I think there's a niche there. Let me know what you think about that. Wrapping the thing over a bit of beatboxing. David's Daily Digital Dollop. $1.80. A decent game. Today was the first day since Friday that I haven't been obsessively checking The Guardian or Twitter, trying to compute what has happened and what might happen. But today I've had a productive day and haven't looked at the news or Twitter much at all. And so in my own personal world, things returned to normal. And by normal, I mean making dubstep remixes of traditional folk songs. I appreciate that that may not seem particularly normal to most people. You can hear the fruits of my labour on Saturday the 20th of August if you come to the Folk East Festival in Suffolk, where I'm doing the Young'uns in the Mix. I'll also add it to the Young'uns podcast. Talking of which, I really need to get the first Young'uns podcast of the year released very soon. I said that the new series would be coming out in April, but I've been so busy that it hasn't happened yet. But, you know, it's not as if it was a promise. It's not like I got a massive poster and emblazoned the news all over the Young'uns van, and then just pretended that I didn't. Although, if I was pretending that I didn't, then I suppose I would say that I didn't, hence the pretending element. But I didn't, so stop trying to trip me up. Yeah, you see, this is what I mean when I say that things have returned to normal, having pretend arguments with myself for a daily blog. I think Farage was right about me. I'm not one of the ordinary people. To be honest, I'm not even really that decent either. You don't want to know what I'm doing while I'm writing this. It's a wonder I can still use the keyboard. Although maybe I should stop. I mean, I might give myself an injury, and I wouldn't want to put unnecessary strain on the NHS. Give it a few months, and I'll be absolutely fine doing highly indecent and undisclosed and potentially danger-inducing stunts without worrying about putting a strain on our health service. But I appreciate that it's going to take at least a couple of months before all the foreigners leave and the money starts rolling into the hospitals. Then it'll be amazing. We'll be deliberately getting injured, just for fun, and also to take advantage of the luxury hospital services. Hopefully they won't serve caviar every meal. I mean, it's nice, but I wouldn't want it every day. A bit of satire for you there, my friends. It's not what you'd describe as biting satire. But that's because I'm aware of the health risks associated with satire bites. And I think it would be irresponsible of me to give you any, in case it results in you needing to go to accident and emergency, thus putting unnecessary strain on our NHS. But in a couple of months, when the foreigners leave, and the money comes rolling in, etc, etc. Yesterday, I watched the England match with Ben and Elsa. It was an odd atmosphere, as we all admitted to each other that we weren't really that bothered about England winning the match. The political events of recent days and people's attitude to non-English people had made us rather disillusioned with the country. Plus, Elsa is French. Obviously, she'll be leaving soon anyway, in order to free up NHS resources. Am I right, Hartlepool? That's the plan, isn't it? Looking at my Twitter timeline, it seemed as if we weren't the only people feeling this way, kind of wanting us to lose. As the game went on and the Iceland goals came in, we started rooting more and more for Iceland. I suppose I wanted it to be a bit of a slap in the face to all those idiots that I'd heard on the radio and the television saying things like, "We've got England back for English people. It's time to stand on our own two feet and show the world what we're made of. And now we can make Britain great again." Obviously, this slap in the face would be a figurative slap in the face. As much as I'd like to give them a literal slap in the face, I don't want to cause any injuries that might put unnecessary strain on the NHS. Maybe in a couple of months when all the foreigners have gone and the money starts rolling into the hospitals. Although I wouldn't want to give the stupid patriotic pricks the joy of being able to live it up in the luxurious hospitals being waited on hand and foot by their own personal butler. Again, checking my Twitter timeline indicated that others were also getting a weird pleasure from our apparent great nation being beaten by a country with a population of Wakefield. Not with the population of Wakefield, with a population of Wakefield. With a population the size of Wakefield. Iceland doesn't have the population of Wakefield. Have you not heard about that? They're trying to keep it quiet, but yeah, Iceland is made up of clones. They abducted everyone from Wakefield in the night, and then they took them to Iceland, cloned them, and now Iceland is just a mini Wakefield. So actually, it was a victory for England after all. That's one of the extra bits that you don't get. That's the beatboxing and that little aside there that you don't get if you just read the blog. Obviously, the truth is that we let Iceland win to thank them for being the first country to come forward after the Brexit and offer us a trade deal. England clearly thought that we should be magnanimous and show our appreciation by deliberately playing shit and letting them win. Because, as Farage said, we are decent people. But anyway, it's not the winning, it's the taking part that counts. Although clearly this country has chosen neither to win or take part. We are out of the EU and out of the Euros. Still, who needs the Euros when we've got something a lot more interesting going on our TVs right now as this parliamentary debacle rolls on. Get a few of your mates round, stick on the news channel, maybe play a bit of a drinking game to spice things up a bit. Take a drink every time a Labour politician resigns, or a drink every time someone reneges on a key pledge of the campaign, or every time someone says that there isn't a plan. Although actually, maybe best stay off the drink for the time being. You wouldn't want to put any unnecessary strain on the NHS due to alcoholic-related injuries or illness. But in a couple of months, once all the foreigners have left and the money comes rolling into the hospitals, then you can drink as much as you want. In fact, we'll have so much money that they'll probably serve free booze in the hospital, along with a caviar. A bit of slightly nipping satire for you there, my friends. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.